it doesn't matter how much research I do. It doesn't matter how much I dig. I will never, ever truly experience that. And so I don't, and I can't have that understanding.
Right. It's just when you're, I think I've been used to it a lot, along with my other brothers and sisters, especially people of a darker complexion than me, always being the only one. And my entire life, I kind of just let that, it was just normal. But now that I've become more aware, and then a lot with the political climate of my country, it's very heavy now. And I notice it now when I walk onto a boat or into a room, I'm like, whoa, I'm the only Black person here, you know? And it's become harder to deal with, because then I'm like, why? Why not? Why can't you have two or three Black people on a boat? And that's what I love working in the Bahamas, because I see Black deckies and stews all the time on big boats, small boats, driving tenders around. And I'm just like, yes. Hey guys, like, nice to see you here. And they're just like, this is normal in our country, you know, like, you know, but for me, I'm just like, it's like seeing a fish out of water. And that's
let
why
me ask you, I mean, one of the things that I noticed in every single one of your interviews is the feedback that the Caribbean is probably the easiest place to get work if you are a minority. The US is next, and Europe is the worst.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Juno, on the other hand, doesn't have a problem with any of this. He was just like, I wasn't raised that way. That's not my perspective, but like, I grew up with the water, you know, and I'm just like, okay, that's great. What a privilege. Must be nice, you know, and he deserves it. So with an exception of Juno, he was just like, I don't see the problem, but I brought up some good things in our interview. I was like, well, you do have a British accent, so people tend to view you as more posh and educated already, and you are a man, so how could you notice any disparities if you haven't experienced them, no matter the color of your skin, you know? So that was the only person that I felt that was like, I don't know about all of this hoopla over race, you know, but I understood his perspective as well, so it was enlightening for me. But yeah, I would agree that I feel like the Caribbean is the easiest place for people of color to find work. But also a lot of the deckhands that I know, like Ashton, and there's a guy named Tristan that works in Nassau at Bay Street Marina, they had to work at the marina for years, 2 to 5 years before they got on their first, like as dockhands, before they got on their first yacht. And they were smaller yachts. So Ashton, for instance, went to Fort Lauderdale recently. You know, he comes from a family of captains, 5 captains in his family. He went to Fort Lauderdale to get his captain's license, and he just got his first gig, like on a mega yacht, you know, that is on the West Coast going through Mexico and all of that. But it took 5 years of him, maybe 2 years of him being a dockhand and 3 years working on the same yacht. You know what I mean? And I'm just, so yes, and I'm just like, but it's harder for us. You know what I'm saying? It's harder for us to climb the ranks. It's harder for us to get on the bigger boats. It just is. And like, I've been afraid to say that because there's going to be people watching this saying, that's not true. You're just not working hard enough. You know, because yachting has that mentality, like sink or swim, literally. Like some people, maybe the industry is just not for you. No, it seems not to be, actually. Not because of my attitude or my lack of work ethic, just because we have to be better, brighter, smarter, faster, and know more than everyone else to get the same opportunities. And it takes longer.
Yeah.
And not to mention, some of these big ticket classes are so expensive. And the people that can't afford them are working on charter yachts where they're making $20,000 a month in tips. And if you can't get on that boat without this license, then what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'm just calling bullshit right now. Even on, like, I'm looking at myself from last March to now, I'm like, my, what 1 year can do to someone. I feel wiser, smarter, but I feel less less hopeful or, you know,
positive.
Positive. I feel less positive. So that was another thing. I was like crying about diversity in yachting. I'm like, I remember telling someone that I was like, I don't want to lie to people. I don't want to sell people false hope. I don't want to be like, if we can do it, so can you. And when now I'm starting to feel like maybe that's just not totally true. And I'm not saying it's not. I just felt like that in that moment.
You know what? Gabriella, I think
sell a dream that's unattainable.
For me, the whole idea behind you doing this show is to highlight exactly what is wrong and what is right. But if you are finding that there is a large disparity between what is wrong and what is right, to talk about the things that are wrong and to make sure that it is heard and those changes are made, that is what this show is all about. It's about changing things for you, and it's about changing things for those that come after you. And if people like you don't start talking out, because nobody before has done this, you are the first person ever in the history of yachting, to host a show or a column, anything in media, to talk about diversity coming from the diverse perspective. So you are making history. And this is your chance. This is your voice. And, you know, I do understand if it takes things out of you. And if you feel that you don't have the strength at times to carry forward, but your voice is being heard. And the yachting industry is hearing your voice. And you are making waves. And you are making change. And it might not be, you know, a tsunami. But you know what? The tide comes in and out. And, you know, every little wave makes a difference. And you are definitely making a difference.
Thank you. I just wish, like, you know, if I Google, why are there no Black people in yachting? Just something simple. One article from the Triton from 2017 will come up about diversity. And it's about when there was a big stink about an email being sent to the applicant from the recruiters saying that she's not going to get hired because she's too fat and too Black. So she sued this recruitment company and there was a big hoopla about it. That's the second time I said hoopla and I've never used that word before. That's so weird. No, but like that's the only article you can find about it. And then there's an article that pops up about Below Deck where, what's that captain's name? The gray beard one?
I don't watch the show.
One of the Below Deck captains said that it's not true, that there is diversity and that your color of your skin has nothing to do with it. I thought that was very dismissive and I was just like, well, that's fucking bullshit. You're a white man telling us that that discrimination doesn't exist. Cool. And then recently DocWalk came out with an article about diversity and inclusion, but they excluded the part about race. They were only talking about the lack of females in certain positions. So there, I just named three articles about this. And that proves my fucking point, you know? So, okay, like, sure, this is the only show that talks about it, but like, it also puts a target on my back, you know, and some of my guests are scared of that too. And I've convinced people like, you know, like it'll be fine, you know, like don't worry about it. But like now I'm like, oh fuck, well maybe, you know what I mean?
You know what, I have to be honest with you. I don't think it is putting a target on your back. I think what it is doing is, it is showing what is going on in the industry. And there are definitely those yacht owners out there and yacht management companies out there that are saying, you know what, it's time for a change. They are changing. They are a younger demographic. We are looking at the ultra high net worth individual being 48 years old and younger. These people are much more aware. I mean, just generally aware, not only of diversity, but equality, sustainability, you know, more right. In touch with the planet in every aspect. Right. And I think what is doing is changing things up, making people take a second look. And, you know, the amount of companies that are hashtagging diversity straight across the face of the planet right now and in yachting
makes me
laugh. You know, I mean, they all know that it's something that they need to do. So they're going to hashtag it but they're not actually going to do anything about it.
There are just so many ignorant people in our industry. I'm losing my patience, honestly. Like, there's a very popular Instagram account that I follow. And I remember they posted something about the history of one of the British Virgin Islands. And they said, like, when Christopher Columbus discovered it and blah, blah, blah. And I literally was like, what about the Indian, like, or Native and Indigenous people that were there before Christopher Columbus got there? Oh, well, I was just reposting it. Don't fucking repost shit like that. How about you start posting the truth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's talk about colonization. Let's talk about white supremacy and stop perpetuating it. Like, be honest. That's the thing. Like, people are just so ignorant that there's no honesty about what's actually happening. People can't believe that something that happened in 1492 can possibly still be affecting my people right now in 2021. And that's the problem.
Do you think that people are afraid? There's a certain amount of fear if they speak out on the side of right.
Yes, because then it will discredit them and their reality. Because if they start to think, oh man, I only got this job because of my race or how I look, they're going to feel like their identity is going to be challenged. And no one wants to believe that they have a leg up or a head start because of their color of their skin. No one wants to believe that. They want to be like, I worked hard and I worked my way up and I paid for all the classes. Like, I deserve to be here. People don't want to believe like, oh, well, maybe I did. And then change, like, admit it and change it and be aware of it now. Don't be like, people are just so firm and like, no, I deserve to be here. I earned it. But yes, that may be true. But maybe you also are there because the person that hired you looks just like you and only trusts people that look like them. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that this all, my attitude started to shift in October, actually. So remember my first time on the show, Toomey was interviewing me and I was on a yacht.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I was like, you know, they have tattoos. They seem really cool, laid back. Like, this is it. I thought this was like my forever yacht. And my God, that went south so badly. And I never told anyone. Actually, I reached out to the Black Yachty WhatsApp group, freaking out. And to me, a bunch of women were like, chill. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Some captains are pricks. It's going to be fine. It calmed me down. But the thing was that I was threatened by a captain. Threatened. He threatened to destroy my career. He threatened to forward my CV to every recruiter and every captain he knows in the industry to make sure I never work again. And he called me an idiot. He called me useless. He called me a bitch. He said that I was a smartass and that I'm never going to make it in this industry. And I did nothing that warranted that treatment. I didn't. And I'm not bad at my job. I really don't know what was going on with him, but myself and the chief stew both got fired for the same thing. He didn't like that we would go out all the time, like on our off the clock, on our weekends. He didn't like it. It bothered him, whatever. He fired us both. With her, she's white. He was super apologetic. So sorry, I wish I didn't have to do this. I think you're great. I'll write you a letter of recommendation. I'm so sorry. But with me, he was going to ruin my career and make sure I never work in the industry again. And her and I were friends. And she told me all the things he said to her when he was letting her go. And it was such a stark contrast in the way he fired her and the way he fired me and the things he said to her and the things he said to me. He even went as far as to call the agency that hired me and drag my name through the dirt and made up things that I didn't do. So when I called the agency to complain about him, they didn't believe me. And they said, we're going to drop you from the roster. And after my network of friends that I've developed because of this show, everyone calmed me down. And they were like, he's not going to ruin your career. You know how many yachts there are? You know how many captains there are? You know how many agencies there are? Like, And he's going to make himself look bad if he's really going out of his way to destroy a green deckhand. Like, yeah. Get a life, bro. You know what I mean? Move on. Who cares? But it really, I didn't realize how much it shook me and broke me, you know, because I think that I'm pretty strong. And I think that I am sassy. I'm an adult as well. He was a few years older than me. And I don't, no man is going to talk to me that way ever, you know? And I think I stood my ground and I was trying to have a conversation and it turned into a total roast. Like I was getting roasted and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go. I later heard that the chief stew and I forgot a couple items on the boat. And when they got back to the marina, he threw our shit overboard. Yes. Yes. Okay. And I had made friends at that marina and they all saw and reported back to me what he said and did. And I was humiliated. I'm like, what did I fucking do? That was so terrible. So I didn't realize how shook I was after that experience. I was like, I just need to take a month off. That was kind of wild. That was bizarre. And when me and the chief stew talked later, I broke down and started crying. And I'm like, why was he so nice to you about it? And he treated me this way. And I'm like, I think it's because you're white. And she totally turned on me and said that that was total bullshit. And then she blamed me for her getting fired. It's your fault I got fired anyway. Okay, so that this is like the worst story. It took me months to get over it and get the courage to go back to work after that happened, you know? And when I did get another job, I was so stoked. I was like, okay, time to redeem myself. Let's get back on the horse. And then I got fired for my tattoos. Literally, that's what the captain said. He hired me and then let me do the charter. And then the minute the guest left, said, yeah, this isn't gonna work because of your tattoos. I was like, oh, well, is there a problem with my work or did I do something? No, we think you're great. You have a great attitude. You're good at your job. You're a hard worker. It's your tattoos. And I don't think that you're going to get any jobs on any big yachts for that matter with those tattoos. Sorry, that's just how it is. So back to back, I just got punched in the gut and I'm like, okay, like what the hell, you know? So from October to now, I have been working. Things haven't been that bad, but those two incidences back to back have finally caught up with me. And this last gig where I left 2 weeks early, I remember we were anchored next to motor yacht Rising Sun, the massive like 400 foot mega yacht. And we were like next to it. And I remember like looking at that yacht and then my captain was like, hey, why don't you just go swim over there and hand in your CV? And we all chuckled. And it just naturally just kind of fell out of my mouth. And I'm like, I will never work on a yacht of that caliber. And then like everyone was like, what? And I was like, I will never work on a yacht like that, ever. Not even as a deckhand. And then one of the nice, naive stews was like, what do you mean? Yes, you can. I'm like, girl, look at my fucking tattoos. They don't hire people that look like me on those kinds of boats. Tattoos, my stature, my color, I don't know what the fuck. I will never work on a boat like that. And I said it so like apathetic, like I accepted this fact already. And everyone was like, oh, awkward. And I left a couple of days later, like, sad. Like I felt like I just had this like aha moment, like why did I say that and why did it just come out so naturally, like, you know? And it just kind of bummed me out. And some people are like, well, working on those boats, it's not all it chalks up to be. It kind of sucks actually, but it's like, that's not the point. I want to work on a yacht like that and then make my decision and choose to work on the smaller yachts with maybe programs with lower standards or whatever. But I want the option to decide what I prefer. Now, I don't want the decision to be made for me because of what I look like.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not going to say that the boat I told you about in October where I was threatened by the captain, I'm not going to say I was the model employee, the model crew member. I did make some mistakes and I learned my lesson. But like I said, the way I was treated was unwarranted, you know? And I couldn't help but think, only because there was another person that got fired for the same reason, that I got treated that because I'm Black. And maybe this captain is secretly racist. You know what I mean? And maybe doesn't know he's racist and has all this aggression towards me and he doesn't even know why, you know? And it's just taken 6 months to just chip and chip and chip and chip away. And it really just got to me last month. I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I definitely don't know if I can host a show talking about how great this industry is and how other Black people should join if I don't want to lead my people off a cliff. I want to help my people. I don't want to lead my people into more trauma. And that's how I was feeling a month ago. Now I'm kind of like, I feel back to my old self, but I don't know. I still am processing like how I'm going to move forward, what type of jobs I'm going to apply to, which ones I'm going to take, how I'm going to present myself. Like I picked up day work this week and my first thought was, should I take out my braids? You know? And then my second thought was, if I show up to this job with cornrows, are they going to immediately think that I'm ghetto? Why am I thinking about that? I'm just going to go clean a fucking yacht. It's like detailing a car. What does my hair have to do with anything? But that was my first thought. And that lets me know that like I'm still not fully healed from my last couple of experiences, you know? Because I shouldn't be thinking about that. I should be thinking about the job at hand, not, oh, let me hurry up and take out my braids.
Well, you know what, Gabrielle? I think for me, your show isn't about encouraging people that look like you to come into the industry. Your show is about highlighting to the industry what changes they need to make. And I think that is so important because there is no way that change will ever be made. You know, Rosa Parks, prime example, she sat down on that bus and she didn't get up. Mm-hmm. You know, if change is to be made, somebody has to talk about it. Somebody has to open up that conversation. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to continue to talk about it. More voices need to you know, participate in that conversation. And then change will be made.
I definitely agree with that. But there's also a thing of we're afraid to sound like we're complaining. We're afraid to make ourselves sound like we victimize ourselves. We don't want to sound, we don't want to come off ungrateful or, you know, we don't want to sound angry. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people aren't speaking up. And then there's also the colorism. Like you say to me, like, I'll never understand what you're going through. That's how I feel with my darker brothers and sisters. Like I will never understand what you're going through. And maybe if I was a darker complected Black woman, I wouldn't want to say anything either. I would just be like, look, I finally got a position. I'm just going to fucking keep my mouth shut. Like, because it was hard to get here in the first place.
Right.
And unless we hear more of those perspectives that are being completely honest, like, it's really going to be hard to convince people that there's actually a fucking problem, you know?
Well, I think it's 2021 and it's time.
Yeah, we're tired. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's time for a change. I mean, we're talking diversity. We're talking equality. We're talking so many different things that the world has, you know, even just sustainability and the environment. For goodness sakes, it doesn't matter what color you are or what sex you are. If we continue to ruin the environment at the stage we're doing it now, we're all going to be dead anyway. So I think it is time in 2021 with what we've experienced in the last year to really regroup and take a look at our fellow mankind and just say, you know what, we have to figure out how to save the planet and we have to do it together as mm-hmm. one people. We're all human and we need to work together to make sure that we save the planet.
Yeah, it's time. It's there's there is an abundance. Why don't we want to share with other people? Why don't we want to help other people get ahead? Like, there's enough to go around. Like, I don't come from this place of like, there's not enough for me. I need it all. I'm going to get it. I don't come from a place of greed and just like me above everyone. And that's the problem with like our westernized societies. It's all about capitalism and self-happiness. No one cares about the common good of everyone. Yeah. And I think that it's an old model. It's exhausting and it's just not right. It's just not right. You know, it's time to turn a new page. Like, this story is old. It's 400 years old and I'm over it.
Do you know what? I don't think you're the only one. I think that there's a lot of people out there that will watch this that will feel the same way. Gabriella, I will let you go, but I have to say thank you ever so much for your absolute pure honesty and the honesty that you have brought to Diversity in Yachting since you started hosting the show. And let us all know, are you going to continue?
Yeah, I'm going to continue. I've been reaching out to people this week to interview, so stay tuned. Thanks for letting me tell my story. You know, it was a long time building up and it just came to a head and I just wanted to crawl into a hole. So thank you for supporting me and listening to me and being like a shoulder for me to cry on. And, you know, I really appreciate you giving me this platform to share and meet people. So thanks.
I'm always here for you. And you know what? I'm going to let you close out the show because it is your show and you're coming back strong. So you close it out the way you normally do.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Diversity in Yachting on Yachting International Radio. I am your host, Gabriella, and we're joined today with the lovely Rhea, and we can't wait to see you next week. Stay tuned.